Thank you, Dominic. And the last one, what are some possible developments in instructional television? Art Stobie.
Thank you, Dr. Schroeder. In 1960, the Institute of Communications Research at Stanford University was commissioned by the U.S. Office of Education to examine the potential future uses of instructional and educational television. Since the traditional methods of education had become increasingly inadequate to meet the stresses and strains of the times, school officials throughout the nation believe that 10 years hence, television will carry some part of the teaching of the great majority of school children of this nation and will be increasingly used for direct instruction in large colleges and universities. The impact of educational television may even influence commercial television to improve its content. That's a shocking thought, I know, but an even more shocking possibility is that ITV or ETV will eventually stimulate an appetite for better programming, especially as earlier retirement combined with increased longevity and more education create a larger audience desiring a more serious program content. Let me give you then a short, succinct summary of the informed opinion and predictions of 20 experts queried by this institute on television's future place in education. Number one. Not every school will have television by 1971, but probably every major school, college, and university will have at least one closed-circuit television system by that time. One certain development will be the use of educational television to provide teaching and demonstration in specialized fields, the sciences, for example, where teachers and equipment are in absolute short supply. While there may be some instances of total teaching by television, particularly in the more routinized subject matters, the major use of television for conceptual content will be merely supplementary. Some adaptation of the Stoddard plan will be typical, part of the day utilized in a large TV class, and the rest of the day in the smaller than usual groups for discussion and socialization. TV classes should average something like 20 minutes for elementary and secondary levels and about 30 minutes at the college level. Other technological developments, teaching machines for example, will appear to challenge television, and in the competition among devices and methods, the proper place of each will be more clearly defined, with no one of them seen as a universal panacea for education's many problems. The greatest change will be apparent in teaching method. Educational television will spearhead a movement toward the better use of instructional materials of all kinds, with the emphasis not on the gadget, but on communication. There will be a tendency for discussion groups to be even smaller than the present classrooms, with groupings by ability to facilitate discussion. This emphasis upon ability groupings will lead to greater attention to the most able students, with greater reliance upon independent study, and the development of responsibility for learning in the learner himself. Let me repeat that. The development of responsibility for learning in the learner himself. There will also be an increasing recognition of superior teaching ability, and differentials in salaries in school systems will begin to be based upon this kind of ability. Although by 1971, the normal road to the college degree will still likely be residence instruction, it is not impossible that as much as 50% of college degree programs will be available for credit via television. The traditional insistence upon classroom instruction will begin to crumble as the conviction grows that demonstrated mastery of a subject matter should be the principal criterion no matter how the mastery is acquired. Airborne TV will probably be obsolete by 1971, with educational television from satellites accomplishing the kind of umbrella coverage that airborne is now pioneering. School buildings will be much more flexible and adaptable, with portable soundproof partitions and similar functional features designed with educational television in mind. Directors of the nation's educational television stations have predicted that there will be a total of at least 100 stations linked together in a national live network as early as 1968. And now for some reasonable expectations for television itself, for education. One, it should improve education by bringing to every student in America the very best teachers using the most effective visual and studio aids presented in the most memorable manner. Television should give every student a front row seat at simple lab demonstrations as well as at complex international experimentations, permitting him to exchange ideas with his peers around the world and also to sit virtually in the presence of the great minds of our time, such as Dr. Davidson and Dr. Scales. It will increase student achievement by providing the capable and the talented with additional educational opportunities of diverse and advanced courses, and at the same time provide material at a suitable level for the handicapped student and the limited student. ITV can also be expected to upgrade the teacher as a professional and as a person by electronically placing him before all to see and observe his service, his skill, his significance, thus emphasizing his right to professional pay and his due as a leading citizen. ITV can be expected to permit greater attention to the individual student by releasing the classroom teacher from group instruction to assist pupils individually while the TV lesson is being presented by the studio teacher. Another expectation, and this one I'm hoping for personally, is to make knowledge and learning fashionable by making the educated respectable by concentrating attention on the development and achievement of mental and manipulative powers, and by making education available in the home as well as in the school, after school hours as well as during the school day, to all people at all time. All of these arguments, pro and con, and all of the problems and proposed solutions can probably be summed up succinctly as follows. Educational or instructional television is an instrument of great potential value in improving the quality of education in all subject matters at all levels, if, and this is a big if it'll be used creatively and imaginatively.
Thank you, Art.
According to my watch, we have 1 minute left, and
use it, huh?
This wasn't planned this way, I assure you. We had hoped for 15 minutes at least for reaction from the group. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion. Those willing, stay 5 more minutes. This will still get us out, I think, by 10 minutes to 12. Providing there are some questions or comments from the group. And at this point, I'll ask Arnold to circulate the aisles for any written items. Now, are there any? There might be some come out the aisles there, Arnold. And then, view of that, do we have a comment from anyone or a question?
Jerry Dillon.
All right. Jerry?
I'm interested in your findings on more or less technical features, such as how well you could perceive images on television, for example, in detail, and the problem of color, when you no longer had color to use on your screen. And another problem, which is close to it, is what advantage does color, educational TV, have over films? For example, if you're going to practice something, why don't you just shoot it on a film and just put it on projection in the first place?
Now, I'll turn this question over to our technician, and John, would you please answer both those?
Well, I'd like to have Joy Richardson answer this one on film, because he can do it even better than I can. He's had more experience on the firing line. I'm kind of ambivalent on this, but maybe you can get two answers on it.
Joy, you want to take a crack at the film?
Well, I don't think any instructor would be willing to give up his privilege to talk to his students personally, by turning it all over to film. I certainly wouldn't want to, and I don't think you would. This would be particularly true in a laboratory. You would just hate to turn over all your lab situations to a film situation and then run the films through. You wouldn't do it on tape either.
No.
This is a current, instantaneous, two-way type thing, which is happening right now. It makes it important in the minds of the student who's visualizing it or seeing it. And also, I don't think it would be financially possible to put all of our lab situations and lecture situations on film, nor perhaps even on tape. We just want to keep these things current and right now and bring in today's happenings and developments as well as, and you couldn't do this on film.
Okay, listen.
Another thing I have, film is noisy and it's a nuisance. All apologies to audiovisual.
This is what I wanted him to say. No, I feel, to answer this question honestly, in terms of things that don't require immediacy, there isn't a thing that you can do on television that you can't also do on film. But it's a matter of timing, a matter of economics, it's a matter of staff involvement and distribution of time. Film is more costly. Television is more costly for capital outlay. Film is more costly for production. The time of making a film is longer. It's a matter of convenience and distribution of film. In its present state, requires a darkened room, and television doesn't. In terms of the quality of definition and image resolution, why, perhaps you can answer it yourself better than I can, Jerry, being an electronics expert here, but I do know there are high-resolution television monitors that can be used over closed circuit that give a definition that the ones I've seen are comparable to a nice glossy photograph. They have very high resolution, better than my myopic vision will handle. And even in the regular standard broadcast scanning, which isn't the highest resolution that's being used in the world, essential information gets through, and it's a matter of attention detail and degree of magnification. And if you take something very small like the point of this pencil and blow it up on a television screen that's 24 inches across, even the scan lines that are, say, an eighth of an inch apart won't matter much because it's pretty large. As to color, I think this is something that we have to wait for. I understand every now and then RCA gets a color image for their medical shows that's so good that even the doctors say it looks real. And generally for the public, there's a lot to be desired in the quality.
To go along with that, at the University of California Medical School in San Francisco, they are using color television now. All right, one more down from the floor.
Do you have any proposals to integrate state and local television systems?
John,
This is a question that was raised in the Laser report as something to be explored by the colleges. This is one of those areas that is everybody's dancing around on tippy toes. It's a possibility. The University of California has had a study going to connect all of their branches either by microwave or coaxial cable so that they could, for their large lower division lecture sections, say put on a Psychology 1 by a professor at the University of California at Berkeley, and that would be fed to all the campuses throughout the state and videotaped for use at different times. This would be just the lecture portion, though. And this is something that I want to emphasize, is that no one, I know of no one that is, well, let's put it this way, anyone that has ever used television in schools and is still using it has never conceived of using television alone. It's taking the learning, teaching situation and pulling apart the information dissemination part and using television for that, and then supplementing it with discussion. As the state colleges, there's nothing at present being done.
Now, all right, one question way back. Or longer. Now, I'll answer one question, and we'll handle all the items that came up to the front. For this question is, how can TV be used to preserve Cal Poly's, quote, personal touch, unquote, with students? What help with classes of 60 to 80 when the instructor has worried because he can't know everyone? At the outset, many people are thinking of possibly 2-4% of the instructional load being carried on television. Now, we have to watch this a bit because this is the kind of instruction that can be handled perhaps more effectively on television, where there is not too much lab work, there is a certain amount of lecture, and there needs to be a lot of discussion. For example, Introduction to Psychology. Now, here's one that might have some possibilities with one lecture per week of maybe 30 minutes, as Don suggested, and which can be infinite in size. Then two discussion groups, smaller than the normal ones, 20. Most institutions are thinking of 20 per group. Now, what happens in the big group? This can use numerous people in the presentations, alone or in groups. Great resources can be brought to bear in the presentations, not now being done, in terms of visuals, three-dimensional, two-dimensional materials. The things we've dreamed about might be brought to bear in some of these classes. Then, in effect, if this type of instruction, which is now being used in some institutions, were effected, the philosophy of any institution, ours included, might even be better implemented than in some classes now, where we have only sections of 60 and 70 and this sort of thing. Now, we're slightly over the time, and the thing I'm going to suggest right now is that those people who forwarded questions, if they would like to come to the front, I've distributed these to various members of the panel. We want no one to go away without having the question answered or comment made. In view of that, I wish to express deep appreciation for the panel members and for your time in coming at this part of the week.
I was the only guy that stayed for 5 minutes. Congratulations.